let us prepare our hearts for worship. There we go. Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all on this Palm Sunday, the Sunday just before Easter. And it initiates the beginning of Holy Week, the really intense period of thought, prayer, reading, meditation, self-discipline, all sorts of those wonderful words we like so much. But it signifies for us the beginning of the time when we start really thinking about the events of Holy Week that led up to the crucifixion, death, but also the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So welcome this day. I want to highlight a few announcements as we begin our service. Coming up this week, we'll be having a Maundy Thursday service. It comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." It's not Monday, but Maundy from the Latin. Anyway, Maundy Thursday, we'll celebrate that at 7 p.m. this coming Thursday. And then we'll have a Good Friday service as well, when we think mostly about the crucifixion. And we'll read the story. We'll have what's called a tenebrae service, which is a service of darkness. Again, it comes from the Latin word for darkness. And so we have a series of 14 candles that will be lit. And after each one of the readings from John's Gospel about the crucifixion, one of those candles is extinguished, and we will depart in darkness. Much like the events of today, we begin in joy and end with the story of the crucifixion. It's kind of the polar opposite of my experience yesterday. I went to, I took the kids to this Easter egg drop where they had a hot air balloon and plastic eggs and all this sort of stuff. And they had, this church that's doing this has seven identical services. starting on Friday, and nothing to do with Good Friday or anything. It's all about Easter, and no one remembers the other part, the tragedy, for lack of a better term. So I invite you to join with me this week as we really enter into a special time together. We'll also have a Easter sunrise service that will serve kind of as a bridge between the events of Holy Week and the joy of Easter. It'll be at 6:45 out here by the cross, and we'll gather in darkness, and as the sun rises, so too shall our spirits. And so I invite you to come for that this coming Sunday, Easter Sunday, 6:45, followed by breakfast in the fellowship hall, and then at 11 we'll have our regular Easter service here in the sanctuary. Also wanted to highlight a new study that will be starting just after Easter is over by Dr. John Wigger. He wrote a book on our namesake here at the church, Francis Asbury, called American Saint. And it's a wonderful book. We'll learn all sorts of stuff about early Methodism and about Francis Asbury in particular. But also, I think there are many things that we'll see that will emerge in the course of this study. You won't need to read the book necessarily. Please just come if you're able and take part in the discussion. I'll have a study guide for you, and I'll summarize some things even. So please don't let a fear of reading keep you from that or just the inability to do so because of time. We'd love to have you. If you'd like to participate, please just send me an email or let me know. We'll decide a time and place and all that once we get everybody together and figure out the best time for everyone. So please just let me know about that as you were able. Are there other announcements? Thank you, Sally Ann. Well, I invite you now to hear our gospel lesson that begins this day. It's from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, the story that's often known as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hear now the gospel of our Lord. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went ahead of him and followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." I invite you to stand. Our hymn is number 278. Okay.
We're going to sing a procession, okay?
Oh,
invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 839, as we read responsively from Psalm number 118. The Lord is my strength and my power. The Lord has become my salvation. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted.
The right hand of the Lord does valiantly.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
The Lord has chastened me sorely, but has not given me over to death.
Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord.
O Lord, we beseech you, give us success.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you.
The Lord is God who has given us light.
Lead the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you.
O give thanks to the Lord for his good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Please be seated, and I invite our children to join us down front for our children's time with Sally Ann.
We have a group of girls today. Come on. Paul, are you not going to join us? Come on. Come on up here. Have a seat. Well, we were just listening to the scripture reading of today's story, Palm Sunday. What were the two things you heard mentioned that the people put on the road to welcome? Can you name one of them? Cloaks? What is a cloak? Okay, a coat. So I had a feeling that y'all may not be wearing coats today, so I snuck out and got some extras. Now, I doubt that their coats were this white. Probably were dusty and dirty coats from walking around where they lived. But I want you all to go ahead and go up here and lay a coat down on the aisle. Right there is good, Paul. Hey, Harper, you can take your acolyte off. And Alana, you're too chilly to take your sweater off? Since you have your own sweater, I didn't know if you'd want to use that one. Okay, you can help with this big long one because Lila needs some help laying that down. That's right, then you need to get a palm branch. So go lay it down right beside or in front of the next one. We're making an entryway. It's like a red carpet, except it's not red, is it? That's good, Lila, right there. And Alana, just stretch it on down so it lines the road. And then you can go and put a palm branch on top. It might have looked something like this. There's some right there. But that's not normal for us to lay our coats down for somebody to walk on, is it? All right, come on back up here. What do you think would happen if people, if Jesus walked on those white cloaks? And what do we know? Was Jesus walking? He was on a donkey. Do you think that donkey got a shoe polish that morning and his feet were nice and clean? Probably not. So why do you suppose the people lay their coats down for Jesus and the donkey to walk over top of? It's an odd thing. Do you have, are you? They could. They could walk on them. But why would you want them to walk on your clothes? Because I didn't understand that one. Yes, Lila, are you stretching? Well, I don't know about you, but I know that when I go to parades this day, I'm thankful that they have those clowns that come behind the horses and clean up after them. And I imagine that they didn't have anybody doing that after the donkey. But they were so excited because they thought Jesus was going to be their king, their one and only king that they'd been waiting for, that they didn't care how dirty their coats got. They just wanted to welcome him like we do at special awards, rolling out the red carpet. They rolled out their coats. So I just want you to remember that the people were excited to have Jesus coming into Jerusalem that day. Can you bring those up here, Paul? Can we put them up here on the altar? We're going to say a prayer now, okay? So let's stand up and share a prayer. Harper? Paul, come get my hand. All right. Repeat after me. Gracious God, thank you for our King Jesus. Help us to remember always. He is our leader. Amen. All right. Now we have time for our bread tin offering, which is going to the Blackfeet Indians. So let's, yes, Miss Lila and Cora, can you take the, my left side and Alana and Harper my right side?
I invite the Shook family, along with Paul, to come forward. Hey, Harper, you can stay up here. Well, I would do the microphone thing closer to you, but not again, right? The Shooks come to join our church this morning. So I ask you, Megan and Rob, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service? If so, I will. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care the Shook family whom we receive this day into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And I invite you all to turn in our hymn books to page 48. And at the bottom of the page, on page 48, we have a short response. Can I have a high five, dude? High five? Yeah. There we go. And I invite you, congregation, to read those words in bold. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of the United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, bless, preserve, and keep you all now and forevermore. Amen. Welcome. Bye, dude. I'd like to remind you also of what our bread tin goes for this month. It'll be for the Blackfeet Reservation for the three Methodist churches located there on it. So please give generously as you're able. And I invite you now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, to offer your gifts to God as we receive our all. Let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, for these and for all the blessings of life, we offer you our thanks and praise. Accept them, that they might go to be of help and sustenance to those in need, that your kingdom might come just a bit closer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to continue with me in a spirit of prayer as we move to a time of remembering all of those who are on our prayer list, but also have a few other additions that I would lift up before you this day. Many of you know Beth Griffin, who has been in at Brooks Howell for a number of years now. Beth is not expected to be with us much longer. And so if you would certainly remember her during this next week or so, I'm sure the whole family would appreciate it. Peggy, one of her daughters, has just been diagnosed with breast cancer in addition. And so please, Nancy, her other daughter, one of her other daughters, is traveling home from Africa. So prayers for all of the Griffin family during this very emotional time. And also we lift up Karen and her family and all of those names listed there on our prayer list. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, sure of your faithfulness even in your dying, comforted by your compassion towards your people in every age, we beg your mercy for our imperfect gratitude. We've looked to you for paltry favors when you have given everything. We've withheld from your people, our neighbors, and from your creation, our earth, the care and tending they deserve. We've rejected the cornerstone you sent to build a people of righteousness even here today. Forgive us our failings. Heal what we have broken. Nurture, O Lord, what we've neglected. And lead us to your vision so that we may know the peace and wholeness that comes with faith in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we lift up to you those this day who are sick, those who are dealing with death, those who grieve, those who fight. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we lift up to you our world, so wrought with natural disaster and unnatural disaster, plagued by war, disease. Lord, touch it as only you can, and help us that we might be instruments of your healing and wholeness and of your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, O Lord, as we lift up to you in the silence of our hearts, those groanings of our spirits that are too deep for words. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as Christ our Lord taught us, so now we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let us pray together before we hear the story of Christ's passion. Our prayer for illumination is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Let your word, O God, break open our hearts this day through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may enter into the coming Holy Week with the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. During this next section of our service, we'll have a reading followed by a hymn. You're invited to remain seated during the singing of those hymns.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him and they led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." They said, "What is that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, "It's not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money." So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "And they took 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him, twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. Kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and they took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes on, and then led him away to crucify him.
Thank you. continuing on in the 27th chapter. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they had put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Allah, Allah, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last.
Thank you.
At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. And among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what the impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he's been raised from the dead. And the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go. Make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard, and they made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
Thank you.
Go in peace, assured of God's presence with you, with the mind of Christ Jesus as your path and guide, and the constant companionship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.